my dog because it's less to explain how to jump through a flaming hoop. And Mom says you have a squirrel that does all kinds of tricks, so do you have any recommendations?
Yes, we need to find some balloons, some 350s. That's like the really heavy-duty side size. And we'll tie it on his hind legs and throw him at kids.
Yeah! Oh, man, Mom said you were a genius, and she was right. We're going to launch this guy at unsuspected children, and we'll be the hit of the neighborhood.
Well, here we are with Funny Eddie. I'm Misty Lee. I'm Paul Dini.
I was just sitting in and going to listen to you guys go off. I didn't know you guys were going to...
I'm Paul Dini. No, I did it again.
And what? I'm Misty Lee.
Yeah, what is going on? Why am I doing that?
I'm Misty Lee, like otherwise known as Aunt May.
You sound just like...
Petey!
Peter, are you all right?
Peter, are you all right? Eat your wheat cakes.
We
did another episode where Mesmero switched Aunt May's brain with the Hulk.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yes, I am, because it's not true.
Oh.
So I just made an episode. People ask me all the time, how do you write cartoons? It's like, you make crap up. And sometimes they film it, sometimes not. We're not filming that one.
Okay. So we're back with Funny Eddie, and we're so glad we are, because now we get to find out the cliffhanger about Clown College, which you didn't even go to. But so for those of you at home who didn't listen last week, go back, because you missed a lot of really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But let me pick you up where we left off. We were talking about Eddie. Now, Eddie is so fascinating and has had this really multifaceted life, which started with wanted to be three things when he was little.
A cop, a stuntman, and a clown.
And he eventually accomplished all of those and, interestingly enough, kind of accomplished them at the same time. And we were talking about that because he worked with Ringling Brothers Circus. And we were, last week where we left off, I was asking him about Clown College. Now, Eddie didn't have to go through Clown College because they had disbanded the school itself by the time he was accepted into Ringling Brothers. I should probably let you tell your own story, but I'm going to let you talk in a minute.
That was really good.
Yeah, so I'm listening. Eddie didn't actually go to Clown College proper, but I was asking a lot of questions, and where we left off, because we really want to find out about Eddie's clown persona, which is kind of where we're going with this, but I was wondering, first of all, what the Clown College experience was, and he got to the point where he was saying that there are a bunch of different sort of micro classes that are mega classes because this is all you get. And so that's Muggsy snoring. So he does this all the time.
That's awesome.
But you were saying there were three types of clowns, and I never got to ask you, how do you choose or do they choose for you? Well, based on how you move and
Clown College, you were kind of guided into it.
Uh-huh.
But now...
So they would encourage you and say, you know, based on your movement, you would best be a blah.
An August, a white face, or like I said, they don't really use the tramp or the hobo anymore because it's not politically correct.
How is it not politically correct to be a tramp or a hobo? Well, because also, no one really is riding trains like they used to either.
No, so there's security now.
It's what?
There's security now.
Oh.
Because of terrorism.
Uh-huh.
Everything that you could do back in the 70s, you can't do now. I mean, with riding the trains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Getting from one city to another.
Yeah.
When I got home from the circus, it was 9/11/2001.
What?
I got home that day. First thing I did was call the circus. They got rid of a lot of people that did not have the proper documentation.
Wow.
Wow.
Because, I mean, what better way to get around the country without being seen than being a worker on the circus?
Absolutely.
It's a lot different now. Stewart in The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing about the tramp slash hobo clown is it was sort of seen as a romantic lifestyle, a nomadic character that was iconic that little kids would have identified with at that time, you know, like up and coming. Whereas now, I guess, I don't even know what I could liken to that. It's sort of like a lifestyle that's, you know, with our world getting smaller with technology and stuff, and then also tightening with security.
Well, hobo exists as sort of like a quaint phrase. I mean, you still laugh when you hear it. The other day we saw in the movie Wreck-It Ralph, he's trying to do something and this little girl he meets says to him, "Are you a hobo?" And it gets a laugh in the movie because hobo is a sort of antiquated thing, you know, that a kid would ask about, even if they don't necessarily see them. But yeah.
Well, and then Renee dumped her wine on me on her birthday, and I said I smelled like a hobo. So, I mean, it's clearly yeah. still in the... But that doesn't mean he's drunk. A hobo was a nomadic character that was sort of seen... But it was
down
sort
on
of,
his luck.
Like a colorful yeah. character, yeah.
The Vagabond Inn is a prime... their logo, is it still... I don't know.
No. It's, what, like it's, a guy with the bindle sack
yes.
and the little blunt out eyes?
Now, it's flowers now? Okay. Yeah. But I remember that in the 70s. I was born in 69. Uh-huh. So it kind of gives you an idea of where what I saw. But I totally remember the Vagabond Inn and, mm-hmm. and the hobo that they had.
Yeah. I mean, okay. they had a cutaway coat and a striped shirt and then a cellophane, you know, dickie that stuck up and a batter yeah. top hat.
That yes, was flammable. What the heck yeah. is he thinking?
The very right. chic fingerless gloves and off you go, you know?
Yeah.
Stealing pies off of windowsills.
Cherry pies, which we need to get back to.
Oh,
also.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, nice segue.
A segue into something we're not yet going to talk about, though, so it's sort of moot. but, so you were in clown college. These guys would have sort of, based on their movement, or based on what they needed at that, you know, time, you know, it's like, yes, well, we kind of need more serious guys.
And that's another thing. If you were the right size, uh-huh. weight and height, and they needed somebody specifically for a costume uh-huh. on... the road, they might take you out of clown college and put you into the circus
company.
Just because you are the right size and the yeah. right height.
Well, it's a business.
Wow.
It's yeah. a business first, and I think a lot of kids probably would be like, oh, one day it's a dream. We've talked a lot about this, you know, like the idea of magical unicorn versus business. And I don't mean like Unicorn Wednesday, you guys, although I do love to mention it on here. Oh, by the way, Trisha Lasky and Scott Adsit, because we haven't got there yet.
I just saw her.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So, So it is a business. And so there are all these little boys that want to be clowns. And were there a lot of girls in clown college?
There were some.
Were they not allowed?
Oh, they were allowed. There's some funny women. I mean,
well,
Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
It's just in, you know.
Didn't go to clown college.
No, but she would have been awesome.
Okay, I have to ask. For the sake of my own ego, you brought it up. I have to ask. I'm such an asshole. Has the creation of Harley Quinn somehow... increased girls' interest in clowning?
I can't with you right now.
I don't know.
I cannot answer that because when I was on the road from 99 to 2001, nobody has seen her enough.
Oh, okay.
Because what year did you create Harley Quinn?
20 years ago, 92.
In 92.
Yeah, what is this? 20 years? Yeah, yeah.
So
September 11th, 1992 is her birthday.
So no is the answer to your question. When he was on the road several years later, he hadn't seen it.
No, she hasn't permeated the cultural
yet.
Zeitgeist.
But there's
enough.
Still time.
But she is amazing.
Yes.
Okay, all right. That's all I wanted
to know. No, and I am pretty sure that if you ask, I will ask who's ever on the road, female-wise, if they were affected by Harley Quinn.
Okay.
And you never know.
You never know.
Well, they might say, yes, Harlequin, the Commedia dell'arte character, but not, you know, or whomever. But, okay, so these guys would be guided, you know, you would be ideally, when these guys would go to clown college, and we'll get to your experience in a minute, but when they would go to clown college, one of the things they would study is what kind of clown they were going to be, and we talked about those. What other kinds of workshops and stuff would you be put through? Because you said the clown college itself was how many weeks?
Anywhere 13? From 10 to 13.
Gosh.
And there were, like, three different locations. There was... a couple in Florida. I know Venice, Florida. And then Lily grew up in Florida. Lily Von Stutt, my girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we met. She found out I was Ringling Brothers Clown, and she goes, hey, let's go out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So that totally opened the door.
Nice. And the gift goes on because she's a friggin' hottie.
Yeah, she's awesome. Giddy. I love her.
Nice.
I
love clowns.
She's a very elegant and very...
big shoes and big gloves.
Oh, that's what Lily dresses like. No, I'm just kidding. It just happens to be her type. No, Lily is a burlesque performer, and not only is she built like a brick house, but also she is very smart and produces her own shows around Los Angeles, and she's very
well-renowned,
very well-reputed, and I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Every Monday night.
Yeah.
It's a new show.
Monday Night Tease.
Yes.
And she puts a lineup together of variety performers, and she is extraordinarily talented, not only as a performer, but also as a producer, because it's really well done, and she gets really big names in there to perform with her.
Scott Land, Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. Scott Neary, so many, I don't even know why I said Scott Neary, I'm sorry. So many people.
What?
No, Scott's awesome.
I don't know who he is. But that's
oh,
really
you don't?
You
no, he's LA's premier pancake juggler, but that's another story.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Scott, we're going to go see him next time he's performing. Well,
Scott Land's terrific puppeteer.
Yes.
I did a show once with two guys, and their whole act was breaking plates on each other's head. That's it. Well, they had like clay pigeon plates and they would just smash. It was the vaudeville show that I used to do with Princess Magic. These guys would just come out 3.5 minutes, just bust plates on each other's heads. That's it. Cool. I did another show with a guy and he was Crazy Chicken Face, and his whole act was he would duct tape a rotisserie chicken to his face and run into the wall.
Well,
that's it. That's his act. 3.5 minutes of that. Fell off his stage.
You know Maxwell DeMille, the guy, he's a guy who has would put on burlesque and novelty talent shows in L.A. And he would do evenings at the St. Jane's Club and the Derby when they had that there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who was kind of like a retro throwback to a, you know, the 1940s style.
Uh-huh.
And he had a performer there.
He still puts them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a performer that I loved called Snappy Tom, who would come out dressed in a very elegant white suit with a Panama hat and very, 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 you know, pearl white gloves. And he would take the microphone, it would be up around his mouth, then he would lower it down to his waist, he'd remove his gloves, and he'd start snapping his fingers to the tune of music. And it would just do that. And that was like the sort of acts that he would do for the vaudevillian type of acts.
Fun, unique variety acts.
That and a puppet snake charmer that was a lot of fun.
That you would talk about at the water cooler the next day. And I mean,
that's
like, they were
cool.
Really,
what's his name again?
Snappy Tom. Maxwell DeMille is the producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
DeMille.
Because before they changed the Derby into what it is now, which is
a bank.
Chase bank.
Yeah, how sad is that? That was your first show in L.A.
It was my
first
show at the Derby.
Performed at the Derby.
Did the
Lily Day. Too. Lily too, I think in 07.
Yeah.
Is
that
when she
was
performed
about
there.
When I was there.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I moved out here in 05. That's when we got married, right? 05?
Yeah. So it was around
so
05 or 06.
I would have been there just a little before Lily. But
well, happy anniversary. I know it was a few days ago. But
Thank you. I was actually teasing him, and I said, so first year's paper, second year's cotton, third year's leather. And I said, so seventh year is assassins? And he smiled, and he goes, yes, I'll give you your gift first. And I said, oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, he never misses a beat.
Did you ever find out what 7 years is? Is it 10?
Yeah, who cares?
No, it's
it's French. She got me the Rosetta Stone French.
So. We're going to France next year, so we're studying up brushing up our French.
Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about Clown College. We talked about makeup tutorials. What else did they teach you guys? I mean, I know you got training on the job, but
from what I understand, there was a like tumbling, slapstick, the makeup class, history.
Yeah.
You always have to know who was there before you.
Right.
Always. And you have to know what was always performed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the bit where Otto Griebling, he was just an old hobo with a tattered jacket.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And he would have a piece of ice, a huge piece of ice in the beginning of the show, like a 10-pound block of ice.
Okay.
And it looks like he was delivering it to somebody. And then by the end of the show, he would just have a little ice cube.
Aww.
So there's that. I think Emmett Kelly was very famous for the sweeping of the spotlight.
The spotlight, yes.
And now, Emmett Kelly bigger. Was actually a Ringling Brothers clown?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was an educational
and
show.
And Emmett Kelly Jr., his son, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just so much history that you learn.
The running gag of the ice cube, I've seen that in a number of different forms. There was a show called Hell's a Poppin', which was sort of like a revival of the vaudeville thing, and early on in one of the acts, you would see a guy come in trying to deliver a flower, you know, and looking around, you know, calling out a name, and he's got a flower in a pot. Later on, he comes back, the flower is bigger, and later on, it's like a huge tree, you know.
So it's a running gag. Now, did these guys come up with their own gags, or did you have a writing department, or, how did these ideas come to be?
Some of the gags come up with the clowns.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a gag with two clowns, Clown Bucks. Two clowns, two employees are coming in, or we're working. Big old espresso machine with a fire extinguisher as the guts, so when you squeeze it, all this comes out.
Yeah.
So Esther comes in. That's my boss clown, Jay.
Uh-huh.
He comes in. We give him a cup of coffee. He's like, this is just terrible. He hands it back. And then the other clown signals for me to kick him in the butt when he drinks another sip. So he's thinking it's caffeine, but I'm just kicking him in
physically
the butt.
Physically kicking him in the butt.
So it keeps going three times because three is the magic number.
Uh-huh.
And then on the third time, I get caught. So we get coffee, bean bags, pillows, but a little heft to him. We start throwing them at him. He catches them. Then we start juggling those. And then we have two pastry pies. He's in the middle. I wind up. I'm trying to hit him, but he ducks. I hit the other clown. He stands up. The other clown tries to hit him again with the pie, hits me in the face with the pie, and that's the blow off.
Nice.
So I actually wrote a bit that got in the clown and into the Ringling Brothers Circus. But there's a lot of bits. There's a washerwoman bit where you have two people just sitting down, wet rag, and there's like a fly buzzing, and you slap the other guy in the face, and then it just turns into violence because violence is funny. Uh-huh. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Then it's hilarious.
There you go.
Now pastry pie. What goes into that?
Something that's no longer made as it's been discontinued. It was Colgate shaving soap.
Okay.
I was actually hired to do 90 pies for a short film by a guy by the name of Michael King. He, great magician, and he produces films. But he needed a pie fight. So I got some soap, and it's shaving soap. Ground up, very hot water, a drill with a painter's mixer on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep going until it foams up the whole, 18-gallon, no, it's more than that, 32-gallon trash
container.
Can. So
a trash can.
Yeah.
And then you just scoop it out and throw it. Do you do it with your hand?
Yeah, you could do it that way. You could scoop them into the pie tins, but they're not tins. We were using Graham crackers. In the circus, we used... We used foam. And the foam, you would get latex and just 10 coats of latex on it. So it's waterproof.
I see.
And then you put the foam, which is soap, you put the soap in it. And as long as you have your eyes closed, when you get hit in the face with a pie and just wipe your eyes like that, like windshield wipers, you're going to be fine. If you get some of the soap in your eyes, it burns
so
bad.
That was my next question.
It burns.
How's it taste?
Clean.
Now, because when I was a kid, I saw Mo Howard on TV, and this was in 1975, and he was talking about how to hit somebody in the face with a pie, and he had a paper dish, and he put shaving cream on it, and he smacked the interviewer in the face, and I was very disappointed to see there was no actual bakery product used. I guess for a movie, they would, and you do a close up, they would make it like filling and crust and everything like that. But I guess that would be a little too much to deal with.
Well, it would also be too much weight to really get any
good heft.
Right.
But another reason why is, and you don't use whipped cream because if you have it out for a while, it's going to go bad.
Right. Yeah.
And disintegrate.
Yeah.
So there was a story. I'm trying to remember what movie it was, but they had all these pies.
Uh-huh.
And it was a hot day. And they had lemon meringue.
Blech.
So by the end of the shoot, it reeked.
Oh,
so bad.
Grody.
So that's why you don't use real pie. And another reason for the soap, it doesn't break down. It still looks as good as it does, half an hour in to an hour and a half in. Because if you're taking longer than an hour and a half to shoot it, you're not doing right.
Yeah.
I have a screenwriter friend and director, Shane Black, and he wrote the movie The Long Kiss Goodnight.
And Lethal Weapon.
And Lethal Weapon and Iron Man 3. That's...
He wrote Iron Man 3?
Yeah, he's filming. He wrote it and is directing it right now.
He's directing it?
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be some bang.
And he used to hold the best Halloween parties next to ours. But that's for another time.
Come here, buddy. Come see me. Come sit by mom. Come here.
Come on.
Hey, come here. I got to do a circus class before at CalArts.
Just come here.
Nice.
Yeah, I was taught by an actual bearded lady.
Very cool.
It was very cool.
Leave that in. That's cool.
Yeah, they taught us how to do juggling and...
Take this.
Stilts and we had little clown courses. I got to write a clown routine, and I was one of the main clowns during the entire performance. I was helping the audience keep, into the show and everything. It was a lot of work. I was exhausted.
It is.
Like,
are you recording this?
Yeah.
You better be.
Yeah, I am.
That's a great story.
Now, do these guys? I mean, I would assume that when these guys would get into clown college, they already kind of knew how to juggle. If not, were really good at
it.
If you didn't know how to juggle and were sort of a juggling hopeless, what would they do with you? Or would you just not
You would learn how to juggle scarves.
Oh, yeah. That's how I first started. That's
yeah.
Easy.
That's how you learn. When I was in, I was a really good three-ball juggler.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I left, I was juggling clubs, rings, and then five balls.
Oh, wow.
And the only difference between five balls and three balls is two. No, it's just throwing everything higher.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same pattern.
Once
but you're throwing
high,
it higher.
Once I get too high, it's like I start.
No.
But then you, then, sorry, I can't help it. It comes out every once in a while. Oh, we're not allowed pets in my house, so that's why I learned how to bark.
Your bark is something else.
Can you give them a bark they didn't hear you at home?
That was amazing. What?
Well, where did that come from? It's awesome when I'm in a restaurant and they're getting their A, B, or C grading.
Uh-huh.
And I'm exiting the bathroom, which is next to the kitchen, and I know they're there. I'll go, and then I'll just look. I go, did you hear a dog? And I just walk away.
Oh.
You can't do a whining and like you got hurt or something. Naughty. What's happening in that kitchen? I'm out of here. Oh.
That's funny. Eddie.com. That's why I got the website. So, my clown character, you were asking
about. Wait, yes, no, please. We're not done. What? So you said you would learn to juggle scarves, right? Oh,
yeah. Right. If you're a hopeless juggler in the circus, you'd learn how to juggle scarves, or you would do other stuff that no one else is doing. You're trying to stand out. And the thing that I did when to stand out was I actually didn't wear a wig.
Oh.
Back then, very few people did not wear wigs. And I had a skull cap, and you guys know what a skull cap is.
Sure.
It's just kind of like the bald cap, but it's made out of a t-shirt material.
Mm,
and you have two ear holes.
Right.
But I cut the top out to let my hair out like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like
Mo. How long was your hair at the time, Eddie?
About this long.
Okay.
So it was this long, but
it's down to his ears, guys.
Yeah. So on either side. So they had a fit. They would always tell me, no, you need to wear a wig. You need to wear a wig. So I paid a little bit over $100 to get this wig made that looks exactly
like...
Which
is one-third of your weekly earnings,
exactly.
So that was a commitment.
It was. It was. Ugh. But I paid for the wig to get made. It looked exactly like my hair with the skull cap underneath it, too.
Oh, man.
So, in winter quarters, you have to get your costume approved. So, I go out there. I have my wig in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them, do you want my hair like this all the time? I bought a wig. You want it like this? Wearing my hair, right? Wearing the skull cap that comes right off. And they're like, yes, don't change a thing. We want you to wear that all the time. And I pull the wig out of my back pocket and I go, so I spent this money for nothing? And they were like, they couldn't say anything. So I got to wear my hair.
Nice. So,
the same thing happened to a friend of mine on SNL, Julia Sweeney, when she was on Saturday Night Live like 20 years ago. She was on for like 2 or 3 years, and she was with the Groundlings, and I knew her husband really well. We wrote a lot of cartoons together, and I remember calling them up in New York, and she was kind of sad, and I said, what's the matter? She goes, Lauren had me out buying a wig today. I have to wear a wig on the show from now on. And I said, what's your new hair color going to be? And she said, it's going to be this kind of coppery red color, kind of page boy length. And I said, that's your actual hair. And she goes, I know. Lauren hates my hair, but wants me to wear a wig, which is my exact same hair. And,
oh my God.
And she had to do it because it's Lauren Michaels. And
well, and not only that, but again, it goes back to being like, do you want to work? Or do you want to, you know, or do you want to be an artist? And if you want to work for Lauren Michaels and he likes your hair cut, but not the way your hair does it, then you get your ass out and you buy a wig and that's all there is to it.
I just thought that was...
It is funny. Yeah, it's crazy.
Thing. Yeah, well,
it's,
you know.
It's just a little nuts, but dude wants to buy
her. He's a producer, so...
Absolutely.
So, I lucked out the way mine worked out.
And so that leads us finally into your clown persona.
So my clown persona is what you see right now, just a lot... Not even a lot, just a little bit louder.
Okay.
A little bit wilder, more like bigger movements. The barking bit I did in the circus all the time.
Uh-huh.
And everybody would go, oh, I didn't know they had dogs here. And there
Do
were
you
no
have
dogs.
The same mustache?
No, oh, no. I'm
what
so
was
sorry.
Your, oh,
no.
Okay.
I had no facial hair whatsoever from 93 when I was in the Marine Corps.
But you could have eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I didn't know if you had to paint them on or I don't know your life.
Now, does a clown, now when you develop a look, like a very distinctive look. Like
because you guys all, you just said it was about standing out, right?
Yeah,
right.
And which is interesting because you would think that it would be all about blending in and serving the company.
Well, yeah, but also there are clowns that have a very distinctive look to them. And what I was going to ask, do you own that look or does Ringling Brothers own that look or does anybody look
that? I heard you submit eggs that look like your characters.
You're all right in a way.
Okay.
So you're all wrong.
No,
we're
no,
all wrong.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
With the egg thing, I'll do that because that's the oldest thing. you would kind of, that was a way to copyright your face so no other clown could use it, is that you would draw it on an egg and send it to the egg registry. But there are so
there
many...
There actually is an egg registry?
Yes, an egg, clown egg registry.
Wow. Now, where can this be viewed? That sounds fascinating to me, and it, I will go to there.
There's a museum.
I never did it, but from what I understand, there were so many people doing it that they ran out of space.
Yeah.
So I have to look this up, too, but I know the story where you would draw your face, actually cut your hair or the wig, and tape it on to the way you actually are.
Wow.
So there's that.
Pizza break for those who want it.
Yeah, if you want some more pizza.
I most definitely will.
Throw it in the microwave.
Watch this. So I inflated this, right?
Yeah.
This won't work on the podcast, but this is cool.
I see the phone thing, but it's not there.
Oh.
Oh, it's in my office.
Oh, it's in your office?
Yeah, it'd probably be on my desk.
Have you seen that before?
No, but I've made hearts before.
Right.
But not that.
Oh. Yeah.
That's how you sign your name in cursive in a balloon. What he did at home, you guys, is he wrapped.
Is he still recording?
Yeah. Wrapped the balloon. Yeah, he wrapped the balloon around his finger and blew it up, and he made a big Kraft macaroni and cheese spiral.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
It does. Emily, I'm going to toss you my phone. Can you take a picture of it for the or Ezra, can you take a picture of Eddie's balloon that looks like a Kraft macaroni and cheese spiral for the folks at home? We got to get some screwy squirrels, too. And try not to get too much of our house in there. But you can get Walt Disney in his cryo generator back there.
And how long?
You know what? I don't know the artist's name, but it should be on the painting. Isn't that crazy?
Cryolux 3000.
Yeah, it's in the style of the Haunted Mansion. Oh, I'm sorry. Just photographing you. We left off with eggs. That was where we were. Painting eggs on faces. And you were saying, they cut the...
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's one of the oldest... It's one thing that everybody knows about clowns is that they paint their faces on eggs. So it's a clown registry. I don't know if it's still going on. I think it did stop because they were getting too many people going on. But that's one. Our faces are not copyrighted by Ringling Brothers. Our images are not copyrighted by Ringling Brothers.
Hmm. Then that explains why you would want to stand out.
Yes.
Because if you created an iconic character, you could then take it.
Now, Cirque du Soleil is something different.
Yeah.
Whatever character they have in a show is that character. It doesn't matter who
plays
playing that character.
Yeah.
That's their property.
Yes.
Mm. Along with Ringling Brothers, do you know Bello Knock?
Mm-mm.
You know him once I describe him. He has hair that's about 3 feet tall. He's a stunt clown, basically.
Okay.
And he's German, of German descent. He's like eighth generation performer, circus performer. And he's insane, and I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is the coolest person ever. And he was making $600,000 a year.
Doing what?
Doing stunt clown work at the circus.
Wow.
I mean, he put his life on the line probably about 12 times in one show. Every show.
Wow.
We do about 500 shows a year. Between 450 and 500 times a year. So multiply that by, 10 times a show that he's risking his life, and that's a lot.
Now, but that being said, because it is a business, they wouldn't pay him that much if he wasn't selling tickets.
Yep.
So that's why people were going to see him for that reason, and that's why it was worth it for them to pay it.
And he's funny and acrobatic. He would do the sway pole, which is just a long pole straight up in the air, probably about maybe almost a foot thick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know.
He's making one with his hand.
Yes. And, it's like 50 feet tall, 5 stories tall, and the thing is swaying when he's on the top, and it's scary.
Wow. Now,
watching him.
To me sounds like it would be really fun, because he would be in
if
control
you know
of
what
that
you're
thing.
Doing, it's fun. If you have no idea about the wheel of death, that hamster wheel, two hamster wheels on either side. It looks kind of like a dumbbell in a way, but instead of the balls being on the end,
they're turning.
They're not turning. They're actually like a loop, and you can run inside it.
Okay.
So when it's moving around,
your
weight and the force that you're putting exerting on the ring that you're in is making it go.
The inside makes the outside
faster.
Go.
It's like a pendulum.
Uh-huh.
But it's just scary watching them. And I tried going in there once, and I can only go up about 3/4 of the way. up, and I just like, I can't do this. There's no way.
Because they flip over.
Going up. Yeah, going up is easy. It's when you go all the way around, and then you have to do the opposite of what you just did, and doing it the first time, I freaked out.
You fall on your head.
Yeah, and it's pretty rough. But he was a stunt clown, Bello Knock.
Okay. And how do you don't know how to spell it? Is it N-O-C-H?
It's I think it's K-N-O-C-H.
Okay.
Or maybe or a K at the end. But Bello was amazing. But he's very recognizable, and everybody knows him as a Ringling Brothers clown. He might be working for the Big Apple Circus in New York.
Oh, okay.
Now.
That's a Big Apple Circus is really taking off.
Yes.
I remember I had dinner, Nancy Wolfson, one of my voiceover coaches, and my commercial coaches. The woman, one of the women with us was a fiery red-haired woman. And she said, I just got hired as a ringleader for the Big Apple Circus. And she was really excited.
A ring mistress.
Yeah. And I was kind of jealous. And I thought, that's a title I would like. You know? And I said, what's that like? And she's like, I don't know. I'm going to let you know. She had no idea. She had gone through a tremendous audition process and was really, really excited. I remember her name.
I remember a couple of years ago, I tried buying you this outfit that I saw at Bergdorf Goodman's in New York that was like a ring mistress's outfit. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't.
I get cast in that sort of dominatrixy, whip cracking, tightly buttoned up characterist role.
I mean, this had.
Maybe it's just because I'm a bitch.
The top hat, and it had like a leather cutaway coat and vest and gloves and high boots and everything like that. This was part of their Christmas display, and I went in and I said, "Misty's got to have that outfit." And I went in and I couldn't find it. One, nobody knew what I was talking about.
No, because it probably wasn't for sale. It was probably created specifically for the window.
Dolce Gabbana. And I said, do you have that outfit? And it's like, I don't know. Let me ask somebody. Yeah. And I
can't wear Dolce Gabbana anyway. My arms are too long.
Okay.
These things are made for pixies.
Yeah. For all I know, is because they, you know, it's Christmas time and they had different themes for each window.
Uh-huh.
It probably was created special for that display. That's what
I
was
just, well, I mean, this is a New York window, so of course. I mean, that stuff's iconic and that's what they do. But, you know, anyway, so now that was two. We were talking about clown faces and stuff, and you said Ringling Brothers does not own it. And then the eggs, you said something about a third. Was there?
And then for the most part, what you have on your face, especially with a circus, you're always clean shaven.
Uh-huh.
So no mustache, no goatee.
Okay.
I see. So, because of the makeup.
Because of the makeup. Because it's a lot easier to put makeup on when you don't have.
Will you wear a fake beard sometimes or something that hooks on or something like that for a character?
For a character? If it's for
if
a
bit. If it pulls out and snaps back, maybe.
If it's specifically for a bit, a comedy bit, yes. But for the most part, you don't. But you always work with what your face is.
Uh-huh.
I have a big head. I have big cheeks. So I always, when you see my clown makeup, I'll show you a picture of it. Everything goes with what my face is. So with my eyes, what my makeup is, it brings out the eyes so you could see them.
Right.
And another thing about the makeup too, there was a type of makeup called grotesque.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was called grotesque because in the early 1900s, from like 1900 to 1930, when Ringling Brothers was just either Barnum and Bailey or Ringling Brothers because they weren't together yet.
Right.
They were two different circuses. The clowns would wear makeup that was so, the features were so huge. Mm-hmm. And if you got up close to them, scary as all hell.
Yeah.
They really, really were. I was fortunate enough to be on a film called Water for Elephants, and they actually hired real circus clowns.
What did you do on that film, Eddie?
I was a clown, of course.
Yeah.
But the makeup they made me, or they asked me to put on.
You weren't the midget that got thrown out of the training.
No, Mark. Mark's awesome. He's the coolest guy. Wow. Yeah. And he has two little ones, too. Uh-huh. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah?
And his son's name is Buster.
Aww.
So that's too cool. But the makeup they asked us to put on was grotesque. My lips were big black lips, huge white jowl, and then just like huge eyebrows and just really, really thick features.
And they asked you guys to do that so that your features were readable from way up in the stands,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, because we actually work more one-on-one with the actual audience, it's toned down a lot.
Do you find that is a common thing, like that you hear sometimes about the fear of clowns and everything like that? Do you think it comes from the grotesque, the overdone makeup from a while before?
That's one of the reasons. Another reason is the wig. The wigs are fun, but I think they also could be scary up close.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I never thought of that.
There's that. And then seeing some big guy wearing huge shoes and you're a little kid.
The exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's but, too
I mean,
much.
Literally, yeah. Half the clowns that I worked with in the circus scared the crap out of me every day.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, put slapping makeup on and going around and having fun.
Well, and who in their right mind would do that? Yeah. And the exaggerated behaviors and the ridiculous risks that they would take and the violence and the, I mean, even
though... in violence, you couldn't hit a girl. You only could hit guys.
So if you had a female clown, she would
She would beat the crap out of you.
Oh, that's
but
what
you
they
could
did.
Never... Accidentally, yes.
Yeah.
Where it's funny, but never... Yeah. You're not supposed to hit a girl.
Well, I get that, but granted, would you guys just
she's
dress...
coming with you with a shovel, yes.
Well, right.
You kind of
but
have
could,
to.
Would they dress a female clown like a male just so that she could hang with the boys? I mean, was it like being
there's
in
been
the
a couple times that we didn't have enough people or our lead guy was out with a cold or a broken bone or something where we would put a girl in his outfit for like coming out of the... chimney on the oven for the blow off of the pie gag because we had a bakery bit where we were throwing 20 pies in the whole bit and we were on a tarp that covered the ring so then that way we could just fold the ring up kind of like a board game and then just wheel it off and then clean the mat after everything was put away so we could get the show rolling but every once in a while a woman would take a guy's place but not on
as
purposely
a girl.
Yeah, as a girl, not as a girl, right?
You know, it's interesting to note that's also occurring in old cartoons is that very rarely, with the exception of maybe Olive Oil, who was fought over more than she was actually punched, or you know, even
she
though she was stretched and stretched and sometimes folded into a pretzel and stuff like that.
My dog just gave me a dirty look.
But there were really no female characters in cartoons that really. Got roughed up. That was, you know, it was more like, you know, Daisy Duck would do the roughing up on Donald if he got out of line. She'd yell at him, you know, or
definitely
or throw something at him. But and there are actually some women advocates now who are, you know, they don't get it. They're on a soapbox saying there have never been female role models for children in cartoons that weren't somebody's girlfriend. And the question comes: there's Betty Boop. Well, no, we're not talking about Betty Boop. But and the thing is like. They can't play rough and tumble. In those cartoons, the director sort of realized to strike a girl character was, you know, really unsavory and upsetting. Whereas Daffy, Bugs, Porky, Mickey, Donald, they could all take punches and everything. They were very specific with what the girls did. And, you know, and I think that's why there were no female characters on a par with Bugs Bunny back then. Because you couldn't do the things with that. You had Petunia Pig. But the most they could do with her was she was just sort of unpleasant and yelled at Porky a lot. And I can see how that would have carried into clowning also because, you know, it's a fine line. When you see a lot of slapstick, it's almost like the character brings it on themselves or it's as a result of their bumbling. Looking at Laurel and Hardy, you know, it's sort of like, you know, very clearly defined setups for the slapstick. And Charlie Chaplin is always a guy who's like, he's sort of browbeaten by life, but when a bully will turn away, he'll make a face or kick him in the butt or run off or something like that. It's very clearly defined rules. And with Laurel and Hardy, it almost gets to be this very mannered thing. And when they're fighting a bully, the bully will do something and like take an egg in Hardy's hand. And Hardy will kind of look at the audience like, uh-oh. And then he's got to wait for it. And then he'll smash Jimmy Finlayson or whoever will smash it. And then Hardy will go. And as the bully's looking at him, he goes off and does his thing, and the bully waits for that, too. It's not, you never see anybody break in the middle of it and go off. You know, you started this one-upmanship, like the movie Big Business, so it's one-on-one. Okay, we started it, you have to wait and take your lumps, and then I'll take mine, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where I was going with that. I was trying to make a point about slapstick and stuff.
And we all sat here
and how it's waited. It's this almost gentlemanly mannered thing. And
right, it's like, your turn? Yes.
It wasn't until you got to somebody like Lucille Ball that I think you actually saw a lot of female slapstick. And
yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily slapstick or hitting. No. It was more Lucy getting like a bucket of water on her head.
Right.
The wine scene was pretty good.
Yes.
That was about as violent that I can recall actually seeing two women. Well, no, I take that back. But in TV, actually seeing two women
Yeah, but Lucy is sort of like, Lucy gets in those situations as a result of her own hubris. Yes. Like, I'm gonna squish wine. So she's putting herself in a situation where she's not welcome. I'm gonna work on the conveyor belt and put the chocolates. You know, it's like, I'm gonna show Ricky, or I'm gonna prove this, or I'm gonna do something. She usually gets hung by her own petard because she's sort of going out of.
Well, she was kind of the queen of the simple but impossible task.
That's right.
That's sort of like her thing. When we were at Second City, that was one of our, you know, you got the fish, the tropes, the typical humor tropes. You got fish out of water, simple but impossible task. You know, all those things when mm-hmm. you're writing a comedy gag, you've got these places you can go, you know, inappropriate response, that kind of stuff. You know, oh, we're adopting a child. Mm-hmm. Ah! What the hell? What's so funny about that? You know, now all of a sudden you have a sketch because there's an inappropriate response to what you're saying. You know, like that. There's those tropes that you can visit. But she was almost always simple but impossible task. Well, I'm going to take the baby to wherever, and now on the way this happens, or I'm going to step in and do this. And everything was exaggerated and fun with her. So where we left off was when we were talking about clowns with you specifically, we talked about your makeup and how you actually exaggerated your natural features. Is that common for all clowns? Do you kind of want to work with what you got?
Yes. I mean, with your eyebrows, some people might have.
You've got great eyebrows.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're very expressive.
And my makeup goes right along the top of the eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
So I can still get all that movement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or if you have a big forehead, you accentuate that.
I've got a five.
Five head.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost being, you know, caricaturing yourself like a caricaturist when he draws a cartoon of himself. Oh, yeah, there's a Hirschfeld of me 20 years ago and 200 pounds.
That's awesome. I kept looking at it and I'm like, that's Hirschfeld.
Yeah, it is. That's actually his parents' copy. The original is in storage. But, you know, I meant to put a witch hat on that for Halloween, and I forgot. Well, I was going to stick a witch's hat up there.
Have you ever been to the Frolic Room on Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
I have not.
The whole wall, right?
Uh-huh.
Is full of Hirschfeld.
Yeah, Hirschfeld. When Hirschfeld was later in his career, Paul commissioned him to do one of them.
Yeah.
Mark, our friend Mark Evanier also has one.
That's cool. I always see Mark.
I went to his house in New York and
he's great. Sat
for him. I know him.
Oh, you do?
You do? Oh, okay.
Well, I see him at the castle all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you
haven't met him. You just know who he is.
Oh. Yes, yes. But what were you saying, Paul? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, nothing. It's just that that was done about 10 years prior to Hirschfeld's death. He died when he was right around 100. And
wow.
So, because he did that when he was...
That was done by a 90-year-old man?
89 or 90 years. I think it was 89 because... For his 90th birthday, I sent him a shadow puppet, a Balinese shadow puppet, which
he
collected.
Merry Christmas. Oh, and, yeah. That's insane.
And I sat for him in his studio. And
how long did that take him?
I met with him, talked to him for about, you know, an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. Mm-hmm. He started sketching, and I kind of, can I look? He goes, don't look. And then he said, oh, yeah, I think I got it. And then I left, and then he finished up the sketch.
Wow.
So he didn't do it. It wasn't like Disneyland, like he did it while he sat there.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, while you wait.
He took his time with it, and I wore that.
I like roller skates, Paul.
What's your favorite subject in school, Paul?
You like dune buggies?
Yeah.
And
how you feel about fairies?
Yeah. No fairy wings. I was going to put him on the dune buggy. Don't worry. and then I was wearing this very elaborate Argyle sweater, and he drew the sweater, which I felt, which you hate, but I always
thought. It is the bane of my existence.
I thought it gave me a very writerly look, and with my narrow face and my, you know, cool guy, you know, if I wasn't wearing glasses, it's a nice caricature.
It is a very nice caricature of you, and I love that he kind of drew your eyebrows so that they sort of look like your glasses.
Yeah.
You know, like he curled them around your face and sort of made the frame of where your glasses were.
Well, maybe he knew instinctively that I wore them because when I never sent him a picture of me wearing glasses and I never met with him wearing glasses. I wore my contacts that day. So he probably thought, he probably wears glasses.
Well, it makes you look smart and it accentuates your cheekbones. You do have prominent cheekbones, though. So he just sort of continued them on and just sort of curled them around. It looks almost like you're wearing a superhero mask also.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. And why are we talking about this when we have a clown in our living room?
I remember when I showed it to Bruce Timm. Bruce looked at it and he goes, boy, you sure was kind.
Oh, and then we've got a caricature that Bruce Timm drew of Paul, and it looks like Gossamer from
Bugs Bunny. Yeah, yeah.
Like I was just listening to that podcast on the way up here.
Yeah, if you shaved
like
Gossamer.
Number 40 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Okay, all right.
What?
We're doing our greatest hits.
Yes.
Our greatest hits.
Yeah, we have nothing new. So, because
it's all November with Eddie.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, no.
It's Novedmer. No, yeah. That doesn't sound good. We'll come Ed up with Vember. Something more clever. Yeah. Clown College with Eddie. What?
You have the Tashin Circus book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Tashin Magic book.
Yeah.
And the DC book.
There's a DC book that big?
Tashin DC book, yeah.
He's in it too, all over the place.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. I just got my copy of Batman Adventures. Oh, gosh. Batman, the one that you wrote.
What's your kid?
Yeah. With Chip Kidd.
The animated Batman?
Yeah.
Batman the animated series?
Yeah. I bought that the first week it came out.
Oh, man.
Oh, we should bring it over next week, because we're going to clearly bleed into next week, and then he'll sign it for you.
Yeah, sure.
Why would I want... Why
you don't want to sign... Why would I want him to deface my book?
Yeah, really.
No, I have other people... Where
was it? Remember that Comic-Con?
Where?
Where there was a little kid. It was really funny. It was the first time I ever signed for anything.
Uh-huh.
And it was right after Spider-Man USM had aired. It was like the first week.
Uh-huh.
There was a little kid going through. They had set up a table at Meltdown, and they had, I mean, I don't even know what I was doing at this table. I don't know if you've ever had a situation like this in your life, but I'm sitting at this table with Jeff Loeb, Paul Dini, and the Man of Action guys, and I'm right in the middle of it going, what am I doing here, right? Like, that's ridiculous. And so this little kid and his dad come through, and he had been given an Ultimate Spider-Man comic book, which was something they made a promo thing.
Right.
Mm. And the dad, the little kid...
From Wizard, like 00 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was one of those... It was just
it was Marvel.
The pilot episode. You know, they just put it in...
They adapted it in comic book form.
Yeah. And so the little kid is sliding it down the thing, and the dad says, don't you want them to sign it? And the kid goes, no, it'll ruin it! And he starts crying, and the dad goes, man, I'm going to get you another copy of that book because you're going to feel differently in about 5 years.
That's funny.
But it was funny. And it ruined it. And he was really upset. So they got him another clean copy, and he clutched it to his little chest, like, don't touch my book. It was really cute.
Oh, I love kids.
Awesome. Yeah,
I had a burlesque performer, Coco Electric, I think it was, The only thing I had for her to sign was my Kevin Smith Tough Shit book.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So she signed that book.
That's hilarious.
I've had other people signing stuff that has no
reason for them specifically to
Carl
sign.
Carl Reiner has signed my clown shoe.
There you go.
So,
nice. Yeah.
It's just too funny.
Yeah. They actually, when I did the Home and Family show last week, they gave me the cue card of Elvira saying, and next some seance magic with Saucy Sorceress Misty Lee. And I thought, why didn't you guys give me this an hour ago? I'd have had her sign that. And I thought, no, now I'll just take it to cons and have everyone else sign it. Could you sign my Elvira cue card? Why? Okay, so where we left off, and we hadn't quite got there yet, and I guess we'll get to your Clown College experience next week. Well, or your not Clown College experience, but your training next week. So goodbye, everybody. We'll see you. And I love just sort of like leaving them in the lurch like this. It's kind of fun. I don't even think we should do an outro. So if you're riding your bicycle, turn around and go home because we're done.
You did this with Mark Evanier.
Yeah, we do this all the time.
It was 4 weeks, and I was waiting for that one story that you started off with within the first 5 minutes, and it was Paul's story.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I totally forgot about it.
I think we did too.
this is how it goes.
Wait, but you still my character. We didn't even cover. Well, we kind of did. Yeah.
No, we're gonna
did.
Go back.
No,
we'll do it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So say goodbye to the people at home.
Oh, okay.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.
All right.
Come here, Muggs.
Come on, Muggs.
Come here, dude.
He voted.
He did.
He got a sticker.
He vetoed.
Horse deuce.
Horse juice.
Where's Deuce?
Oh, on the bed.
Oh, in armor?
I was like, horse juice?
Okay.
Yeah. Horse juice. Right?